Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Jesus as his son. So that tells us that that's not the same God. So I don't care how PC it is to say it, it's just not true. There are no solutions in other religions for the sin problem. You might say, how come you can say that? Because most of them don't even believe that they are sinners. And that's the difference between the gospel, is that we have to acknowledge that we're sinners. We can't pretend as if we're not. Because John says, he that says he's without sin, what? He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. So we can't act like we're perfect people. And the Bible is not a book of perfect people. All of our biblical heroes are flawed, except Jesus. Moses, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, and probably, other than Jesus, probably the greatest man in the Bible, he was a sinner. He was a murderer. He got mad with people. Amen? I mean, you get mad too if you had 1.2 million people crying on your shoulder. But he was not a perfect person. David, we love David, man after God's own heart, an adulterer. And then to cover up his adultery, he murders. Or actually, he doesn't murder. He does it in a nicer way. He just has him killed by somebody else. He's not going to put his hands out, but he said, put him in the hottest battle and pull back so that he'll die. But God knew what he was doing. But David is one of the great men of the Bible. You might say, well, how come God uses these flawed people? Because he uses them to show us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if it wasn't for David's repentance, David would be out of the Bible. So we're not reading this book to find out how to live like David, nor are we reading this book to find out how to be like Moses. We're reading this book to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. And that's the purpose of the gospel. Transform us and then conform us into his image. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the reason why we have church. A lot of people are losing the reason why church exists. Why do we gather? Well, if you go back to, and this is not my message, I'm just digressing a little bit. I'm getting into it. I'm driving the long way. Look at the history of Israel. And one good king, one bad king. One good king, one bad king, right? That's Judah. Israel had no good kings. But the key to the change between us and them is that the scriptures are being taught on a regular basis. It wasn't until after they came back to Jerusalem, after Babylon had destroyed them, that they created what we know as the synagogue system. The synagogue specifically was designed to teach the people the law on a regular basis so that they wouldn't fall back into the sin that they fell back into before Babylon came and destroyed them. That's what the synagogue system was all about. That's where we get the church structure from, is the synagogue system. Weekly, we gather to hear the word so that we won't sin against God. The Bible says, my word, what? Have I hidden where? in my heart so that you don't do what? That I might not sin against God. So the word keeps you from sin. But guess what? If you don't know the word, what happens? You will be a sinner. Or you will sin. That's why it's so important to come and hear the word. And then not just, and then James broke it down, and it don't just be a hearer, but do what? Do it. Don't just listen. Because the trouble with church has become is that we're inactive listeners. We're not active listeners. In other words, we're not listening to do. We're just listening to make sure we've done our part. But we have to be active because the Bible says the word of God is, as the old King James says, is living and powerful, quick and sharp because it's active. And that's the danger of knowing the word and then not doing the word because now you've been taught the word. I told my sons, and then I'm going to transition into what my message is today. When they were little, when they used to always ask, why can't we do some of the things that other kids do? I said, because you know better. And you can't get away with it. Like the ones that don't know it can get away with it. Have you ever noticed that? The kids that don't know, although they don't get away with it, but they can get away with it longer because they don't know. But kids who knew and then start going into the wrong direction, they can't get away with nothing. It's like every time they turn around, somebody's calling, hey, you, Harold, you ain't supposed to be doing that. Who is that? You know, who are you? How do you know who I am? I know your parents. So we have to remember the reason why we need the word. Amen? Amen. Let's move into today's message. Today, we're talking about counsel. Everybody say counsel. And, of course, we get the word counseling. And what the purpose of this message is to help us as God's people take or assume the role that God has for the church. And what is the role that the church has? Anybody want to answer that question? I'll give you two. Has to do with what Jesus said in the one of the Beatitudes. You are something and something. Say it out loud. Light, salt, you're the light. Jesus is the light of the world, but then he also said what? We're the light of the world. Everybody look at each other. Look at each other in the church. And I know they ain't but a few people, so this is not the whole of the church. So let's not get that twisted. Some folks, they got 20 people in the house, and this is, hey, we the body of Christ. No, we are just a small, infinitesimal part of the body. But look at each other. Just turn around and look. Turn around and look and say, you are the light of the world. Say it out loud. You're the light of the world. But remember this, what Jesus said, but men love darkness rather than what? So if we're the light of the world, guess what? They're not going to like what we have to say because they love darkness rather than light. Because he said it. Why? He said because they're what? Their deeds are evil. And that turns people's stomach to think that their deeds are evil because everybody thinks they're good people. Remember when you were a sinner? And you said, somebody tell you about the gospel. I'm a good person. That was the first thing out of my mouth. I'm a good person. Well, if you're a good person, why are you lying? Why are you cheating? Why are you stealing? Why you think it's your priority over everybody else's? Why are you the most important and nobody else is important? Why do you got to get yours before everybody gets theirs? That tells us we're not good people. That doesn't always mean that we're so evil that we'll always look to kill somebody, although give us an opportunity. And if we didn't get caught for it, most of us would have taken a few people out. Am I right? Some of us have been so mad. Boy, if I could get away with it. If some folks would be gone from this earth. Because our hearts are evil until we encounter the gospel. So counsel, or the ability to counsel, has to be matched up with that light and that salt that we're supposed to represent. Remember, going back to what I said, we as the church are potentially, everybody say potentially. What does potential mean? Not necessarily, possibly, it could happen and it can happen, potentially we're the wisest people on the face of the planet. You might say, man, that's a bold statement, Pastor. But that's the truth. It's not because of our education. It's not because we went to Oxford and Harvard and Yale and Cambridge. It's not that. It's because of the Spirit of the living God that lives in us. The Bible says that his ways are what? Higher than everybody else's ways. His thoughts are higher than everybody else's thoughts. He said the foolishness of God is wiser than men. If you could even say that about God, because how can anything he knows be foolish? But he's using the small things that God knows is greater than anything that anybody else knows on the planet. And we have access to him by his Spirit. We have revelation and insight that the world cannot have. Are you hearing me? We know the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Discernment. People think they have discernment in the world, right? They think they can size up a person. But God can actually tell you what these people are thinking. Nobody can do that. We know about the story of Daniel, how Nebuchadnezzar didn't even tell him his dream. And he went and prayed and fasted, and God told him what he was thinking. I mean, come on, people. That's powerful wisdom. That's beyond just book learning. Because Freud couldn't even get into that. What's the other guy that developed the... Einstein didn't know anything about that kind of revelation. So potentially God's people are the wisest people on the planet. But we have to realize that potential. And it's not a point of pride. Did you hear what I said? See, because a lot of times the church gets revelations and we get proud. Instead of operating in it, we're proud about it. And that leads to a fall. Because what does the Bible say? Pride becomes before a destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So you see, you don't learn things from God so that it can puff you up. You learn it to use it so that he can use you. As we're light. The problem with the world today is that the church doesn't want to be light anymore. It's too controversial to be light now. But you know what? The church will always be light as long as it's in the world. I mean, I'm not talking about the denominational world. I'm talking about the church. Everybody say the church. There is a difference between the denominational world and the church. Amen? Some denominations have just said they don't even believe in the Bible anymore. Did you guys know that? This is not stuff that you cannot, you Google this stuff. Some of the major denominations have said they will not consider Scripture as the final authority anymore. And so then what are they doing? They're losing people. That's the first thing they're doing. But they're no longer light. They're saying, I don't want to be light anymore. The children of Israel did not want to be special. So they wanted to be like everybody else. So they said, Samuel, give us a king And why? So we could be like everybody else. That's what the church is going through right now. Let us be like everybody else. But you can't be light and be like everybody else. You just can't be it. You have to be different. You're set aside. The Bible says that you're a chosen people. You're a peculiar people. Peculiar not in that you're walking around crazy, strange, but you're different than everybody else. Different meaning that you have a connection to the branch, and he's bringing life to the world through you. And I know I'm doing a lot of prelims, but this is what it means to be a council in the house of God or in the kingdom of God. But, and we talked about this last time, there's things that we have to overcome. Everybody say we have to overcome. The first thing is that Romans 3:23, which is what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is desperately wicked. So we have to overcome that. Now, salvation gives us a new heart. He says, I'll take out, and I think it's in Ezekiel, I'll take out that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. So you're no longer that, you don't have the same heart, but that same nature wants to sometimes rise up and take control again. That's why we have to crucify the flesh daily. We have to surrender daily. Everybody say daily. That isn't weekly. Every Sunday, that means Monday through Sunday, you have to crucify your flesh. What does it mean to crucify your flesh? That means to not allow the flesh to tell you what to do anymore. What's the flesh? It's the impulse. It's the fear impulses that we get. Fear makes you react. You get afraid, you do something. You panic, you want to do something. But the Bible says that God didn't what? Speak it out. Talk it out. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. All of those things can combat panic. Because panic makes you want to react, but the spirit says, be sound. It's probably the most powerful work of the flesh is fear. And then the desires of the flesh. And that's just not sex. Sex is a desire, but sex is only a desire of the flesh when it's out of bounds. And the boundaries of sex are marriage. Everybody say marriage. This ain't even popular anymore. Church folk are being told by people in the pulpit that you need to have sex before marriage to make sure you're compatible. That's not what the scriptures say. Light. And darkness. So when a couple comes to us as counsel, you don't tell them. First you ask them, have you been having sex before you guys got married? Now you've already stepped into tough territory. And you just tell them, stop it. Everybody say, stop it. I said, because you're ruining your marriage. You don't realize sex before marriage ruins your marriage. You may say, how, Pastor? Anybody want to answer that question? Because it's not, it makes it unholy when you do it outside of marriage. And you feel guilty about sex in marriage because you've done it outside of marriage. And you don't have a right perspective anymore. Are you with me here? So many people don't want to have sex in marriage, and I know I'm going here, but this is counsel because they've ruined it outside of marriage. And so they don't derive the pleasure that God intended it for us to have in the marriage because it's been polluted outside the marriage. That's what I talk about. You've got to overcome the sinful nature because that's the devil's lie. That's why he does what he does. Everything he wants to distort it and make it wrong. Even when it's right, He never wants you to know, is this right or this wrong? You're always confused. Are you with me here? It's so important to understand that's why the scripture does what it does. It gives us the right perspective so that we don't lose the perspective. Amen? So that's just a little detour. So remember, we talked about we have to come out of something. Every one of us has to come out of something when we get saved. Every one of us were tied up, bound up, oppressed, confused, deceived when we got into the body of Christ. Every one of us, everybody say every one of us. There's no exception. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you sin, you're in confusion. Say that. If you sin, you're in confusion. Because have you ever noticed, and this, just test this, and this, I know this is anecdotal. What, you guys know what anecdotal means, right? It means an example from everyday life. If you remember people that started to sin, remember, and some of that was us, but remember how they responded when people tried to correct them. Think about it. How did they respond? Yeah, they pushed back, sometimes violently. And I don't mean physically, but you don't have the right to tell me what to do. And sometimes these are your kids. You try to correct your children, and they respond violently or rebelliously. Then you know they're in sin, because sin brings rebellion. The wages of sin is death. But sin brings rebellion. So when we all have sinned, we have to come out of rebellion. And therefore, our hearts have to be transformed in that way. Jesus said in John 14:30, I'm going to read a few scriptures. Let's go to John 14:30. Now, he was the only one who could say this, though, by the way. But let me get there, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. But this is the goal of what the church has to do when we get transformed. John 14:30 says this, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Now, who's he talking about? Who's the ruler? The devil. The devil was looking for something in Christ to trip him up. And he says what? He doesn't have anything in me. That's the place the church needs to get to. Now you might say, Pastor, that's not possible. We're not perfect people. What did I say about what's the perfect purpose of the church? Little children, don't sin. Remember we said that last week? 2 John 1. Little children, don't sin. Everybody say, little children. Don't sin. Go to 1 John 2, 2:1. So you guys know I didn't make this up. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But he doesn't stop there. Okay? But that is the goal. Everybody agree with that? The goal is that the church not sin. But, he says, but, and if anyone sins, that seems like a contradiction, right? But it's not, because the reality is we will all sin. But this is what you do when you do. He says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And go to the next one. Go to 2:2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So he says, I write these things to you, little children, so you don't sin. Don't make it a practicing habit that you sin. And what do we hear in the church today? Well, you know, I'm just human. Yes, you're just human, but your goal is to become transformed, conformed to the image of God. How could you ever say, John 14:30, the devil came at me and he had nothing in me? Most of us have to say it like this. The devil came at me and I had so much, I had to run. I had to get away because he had so much on me, I couldn't resist him. That's most of our testimony. But we have to get to the place where the things that used to bother us no longer have a hold on us anymore. That's what he's talking about. And most of us have gotten to that point in a lot of areas. So don't get me wrong. I'm not pushing you back into the baby stage. Because thank God for the redemptions and the victories that we've come into as a result of being saved. Amen? I mean, but we still have to press forward. We still have to keep going. We still have to not relax on the fact, yes, God delivered me from this, and I'm so glad. But what about the next? And the next. See, the thing about the Holy Spirit is that even though you've been delivered from the first, there's a second and a third that he wants you to get delivered from too. He wants you to get rid of the thought of it as well as the act of it. Amen? That's why it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's go to First Peter 6 through, well, let me move on. We'll go back to some of these scriptures later. The next thing we need to do is identify, we talked about this, the areas in our lives that have been wounded because of our sin past. Identify them. Know what they are. Don't lie to yourself. Don't kid yourself. Don't think you're stronger than you are. I told you about this story about this movie I was watching. This guy was a compulsive gambler, and he was an undercover FBI agent. And they wanted him to go undercover to be a gambler. And his friend looked at him. And he talked to him and pulled him aside. He says, I don't think you should take that job. Oh, no, man, I'm okay. That was 3 years ago. These are not believers. But how many of us have heard believers say stuff like that? I don't do that no more. The things I don't do no more. But don't put yourself back in the situation. And I don't even have to tell you what happened in that movie, do I? He started, and guess what? Got hooked again. Because the devil came, and he found something in him. That's what he's trying to do to us. Don't be foolish to think that the things you came out of, he can't hook you back into. Don't think he's not smarter than you. But the power is that you resist the devil and he'll flee. You don't entertain him because he won't flee because he likes entertainment. Amen? So we have to be honest to know where we've been wounded. And the next thing we have to do is identify our perspectives that have been distorted. Well, what do I mean by our perspectives? Some of us have a perspective on life that's based on our prior salvation knowledge. I'll use a touchy subject because this brings it home. Many of us, as African American, Black people, it doesn't really matter. Don't trust white people because of our pre and sometimes post salvation relationships, right? Come on, talk to me. But that's not biblical to hate white people from what they did to you in the past. Did you know that? Go to 1 John 5. He says, he that claims to love God. You guys know the rest of that scripture? And hates his brother is a liar. He says, how can you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother who you have seen? You might say, well, Pastor, what about all the stuff that has happened to me as a result of racial relations? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's what happens to all that stuff. The reality is that all of us have had that problem. And sometimes we have even been the problem to others. Right? It's not always been a whites against black. Blacks have done things too. But again, not at the same. I mean, we didn't enslave. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Because there's black slavery right now. In the country of Mali. One of my clients who's from that area told me that. And I looked this up. In 2010, they just made slavery illegal. 2010! That's not even 8 years ago. And he said, and they, no matter what they said, they're still slaves. So slavery is not gone away, and it's not a black and a white thing. It's a sin problem. Because men always want to dominate other people. And that doesn't go with color. We have convinced ourselves that only whites want to dominate other groups. But that's not true. You know, we always pride ourselves as history buffs. Look at the Bible. Just look at the Bible. Every group of people tried to enslave every group of people. And some of those tribal groups in Israel were black. The Cushites comes from who? Cush, who came from Ham, who was Noah's son. They're black people. Right? Come on, talk to me. Egypt. They're on the tip of Africa. They're black people. Who did they enslave in the Bible? Who? Israelites. And whoever else they conquered. So you see, it's not a black thing. It's a sin thing. Human beings want to conquer other people. That's what we've been doing for the last 10,000 years. They said Nimrod, who was a black man, was powerful in all the earth, and he was a hunter before the Lord. If you know the history of Nimrod, Nimrod was the first one to create an empire. He conquered people. He killed people. So this is not a color thing. This is a sin problem. And as soon as we understand that whites don't hate blacks because they don't, they're sinners. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody, all is all. Nobody is exempt from that scripture. So when somebody acts like a sinner, you shouldn't be surprised. They're sinners. Just like when the world acts sinful, we should not be shocked because they're not believers. What I'm shocked about is when believers act sinful. That's more shocking. When you read that so-and-so been molesting kids ever since he was a pastor for 20 years, that is shocking because that's not ought not to be because we're supposed to be transformed. We're the light. That's why it's so devastating when the church that happens to the church. Now, we all know it does happen. Why? Because Satan came and he found something in him. And he didn't believe 1 John that I write to you, little children, that you not sin. You don't believe that. See, we have used our humanity as an excuse for our sinfulness. When Jesus addressed that problem. And again, don't get me wrong. We will do things wrong. But I don't think we ought to be murdering people. I'm talking about Maybe you tell a lie to the telemarketer that calls you. I'm talking about that kind of stuff. Because you should be convicted from that. You know how those calls come and you say, you know, you say something that you knew shouldn't have said, or somebody calls you for a bill and you say, I'll send it to you next week. You know you ain't got no money coming next week. So you lie. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. I just said, and now I finally get to the point where I just say, you know what? I'll send it when I get it. And they want to keep talking about it. I just say, I'll send it when I get it. Do you know when that is? No, Mr. Frank. No, ma'am, I don't. But as soon as I get it, I promise I'll send it. Well, we need more than that. I can't give you more than that. That's all I can give you. And you know how they are. They're persistent. They want you to lie to them. Well, what day can you send it? I just told you, when I get it, I'll send it. I said, I think I might be able to get it, but I'm not sure. If you're not, qualify it so you don't lie. Because if you qualify it, you could always say, I didn't say. I was qualifying it. I'm not trying to play games. I'm trying to say, let's not make definitive statements that we know are not true. That's the kind of sin we should be avoiding. We shouldn't be debating whether we should commit adultery against our spouse. That sin should not be named, as Paul said, once among us. He said stuff like that. Don't let this kind of sin be named once among you. But we all know that it is named amongst the church. Why? Because we don't believe 1 John 1, that we're not supposed to sin. And we are not honest by identifying the things in our lives that need to be straightened out. The next point, then we've got to move on. Find out where in our lives we've embraced doctrines that are contrary to the word. Many of us believe things that are not in the Bible. And not only do we believe them, we have organized our lives around them. And those are the most difficult ones to undo, because people will try and justify their lifestyles and their doctrines based on Scripture. Do you know people have tried to base horoscope reading on the Bible? And the Bible does talk about horoscopes. When he told me you worship the host of heaven, that's what he's talking about. And what did he say about it? He said, don't do it. There's nothing in the sky that can tell you how to govern your lives. Jupiter and Venus being close to each other has nothing to do with whether or not you should have a relationship. It has nothing to do with it. You know, the so-and-so is rising, and this is, I don't understand all that foolishness, but it's just that, foolishness. You're looking in the sky, and I wonder if I should marry Mary. Huh, let's see, what is that Venus or is that Pluto? You can't, come on now. Unless you know what you're looking at, you don't know what you're looking at. So you have people who write newspaper articles and tell you what you should do with your life. Don't know you from the newspaper print that they wrote, but they're going to tell you whether you should get in a relationship or not, whether you should go get a new job or not. Come on now. That's foolishness. But how many of us walk around and tell me, I'm a Virgo. I'm a Libra. I'm a Taurus. I'm a Sagittarius. I stopped saying stuff like that. I used to do it when I was a kid. I did it. You know, it was popular. Oh, yeah, I was this. I don't even care what side I am now, because it doesn't really matter. But some people have developed their lives around these things. And the Scripture says don't do it. So we have to confess that area and get it out of us and stop doing it. We have to be honest and identify. And that might be an extreme, but doctrines. You know, people say stuff like what the Bible calls, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy 1:3-7 real quick and just see what the Bible calls these things. What did I say? 1 Timothy what? Yeah. No, chapter 1, 3, 7. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. It says this, as I urge you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Okay, so there you go. Don't teach any other doctrine. Nor give heed to fables. What are fables? Say it. Oh, you're hoarse again. Fables are stories that we have lived on. And he goes on to say, genealogies, endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some have strayed and have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Fables, genealogies meaning that they had a pedigree. That's what a genealogy was all about. That's why the Bible is full of genealogies, to determine the pedigree of a person, to make sure that the lineage of Christ was preserved in the line of Judah. But he said, don't waste your time with doctrines. You know, we can go through a whole list of doctrines. Some folks were raised up. You got to kiss the dead before you bury them, because otherwise, you know, I don't know what the thing is. I don't know. It doesn't matter. That's foolishness. And you make people afraid of death because of foolishness. We got to eat black-eyed peas on the first of every year. Why? And how many have heard that? It's for good luck. You don't need luck when you got God. Yeah, most people don't even like black-eyed peas. I just give me a little teaspoon. You don't need them. You don't need them. I miss my black-eyed peas. So what? It ain't going to help you. You get me? People have lived on doctrines like this. And we can go on and on. Think of your own. Oh, my feet are itching. That means I'm going to be stepping on new ground. You heard that? My hands itching. That means I'm going to get some money. Who made that up? My hand itches all the time. I never get no money. What happens if you got psoriasis? What's that tell you? That means you got to get something to fix it. But we're laughing, but people have made this a doctrine in their life. Govern their lives with it. Got to get home for this, because they say if I don't, and you fill in the blank. Oh, she was born under a shadow. Heard stuff like that? Yeah, the shadow is sin. Because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. I was born in sin, conceived in iniquity. That's what it really says. So yeah, we all got shadows over us. Are you with me here? And as counselors, if you want to put it, as in the body of Christ, as the church, we have to help people to get out of that stuff. Because that has no effect, other than it generates fear. And now their life is governed by fear. And the Bible already, we already talked about 2 Timothy 1:7. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. So why would you worry about whether or not you ate black-eyed peas on the first? I like black-eyed peas. I really do. So, but I sometimes make it a point not to eat them on the first. Just to show you, devil, I'm not worried about your tricks. I ain't eating them. How's that grab you? You see what I mean? Doctrines. Everybody say doctrines. Got to change our doctrines. The church has doctrines, even more significant than these we've talked about. But we've got to get them out. And then the last point, then we'll close for the day. Whether we've accepted behaviors or attitudes that lead us away from our walk with the Lord. So these are things that we have to do in order to start being counsel or providing counsel to other people. And these are the things that we will address when we do start providing counsel to people. Now, when I say counsel, I'm not talking about in a counseling session. The Bible actually, if you understand witnessing, it's really counseling people out of sin into salvation. And I'm not talking about, well, tell me about your childhood. I'm not talking about that counseling. You're talking about getting people to acknowledge that they're sinners. That takes counsel. That takes understanding the scripture. That takes helping them to see the light so that they can get out of darkness. That's what I mean by counsel. This is in its simplest form. Now, obviously, there's counseling that's more in depth. But all of God's people can counsel people, especially sinners, but also saints. And really, technically, the church, as it's designed, in order to keep us accountable, we should counsel those that are around us. Am I right? You, in other words, and I know this is not popular, you should be in other people's business. let's all say that together, because then I know you're some agreement. We should be in other people's business. Say it. And other people should be in our business. Now, that's a tough one. Pastor, I see him frowning over here. Now, not everybody. There are some limits to that. Because there are some folks that can't handle your business. Right? Am I right? Some people are not there yet. But we have to, in order to help to promote maturity, have to be in other people's, in the body of Christ's business. Because that's the only way we keep from becoming distorted in our views. Amen? I'm going to let that germinate with you for a while. Think about that. And then we'll pick up on this next week. Amen? All right, let's stand. Anybody have any prayer requests or testimonies? I forgot I was going to tell you this testimony. So, you know, we had some work done on our house, and we were supposed to get this done in December. But due to schedules, the guy couldn't come. And of course, he calls me last week when I don't have the money and say, well, we'll be there Tuesday.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.